What happens when an entire gender loses touch with its original design?
For thousands of years, women have been told they're less than, made for service, created as afterthoughts. But what if the real crisis isn't about women needing to fight for equality? What if it's about humanity forgetting the blueprint entirely?
We've been trying to fix a problem we don't even understand, demanding rights we already possessed, fighting battles that were won before they began.
The issue isn't that women need permission to be valuable. It's that we've all forgotten what value actually means.
1 in 3 women worldwide experiences violence. Wage gaps persist despite legislation. But laws can't change hearts. The devaluation of women isn't just social. It's a spiritual amnesia spanning every culture and century. When women demand equality from men, there's a hidden trap. They're implicitly asking men for permission to be valuable. It's like a prisoner asking the warden for freedom papers. True liberation doesn't come from convincing someone else you're worthy. It comes from remembering you always were. Joseph maintained dignity in prison. Jesus told Pilate, "No one takes my life from me." The universal nature of women's devaluation points beyond tradition or patriarchy. We've lost the instruction manual for being human. Women have developed their identity from men's perspectives rather than from their creator's mind. The solution isn't louder demands, it's rediscovering the original design.
Everything has a purpose before it has a form. God operates this way. Purpose determines design, and design determines function. When you understand why something was made, you understand what it needs to thrive. God created humanity as spirit first, without gender. Then he placed this spirit being into 2 distinct physical forms, male and female. Both carry the same essence within. The woman isn't a separate species or modified version of man. She's the same essential being in a different, complementary design. Think of it like this. A violin and an oboe are completely different instruments, but both are equally necessary for a symphony. Different doesn't mean inferior. It means purposefully distinct. We've been approaching relationships like buying a car, easy to acquire, difficult to maintain without understanding how it works. The woman was built from man's body, ensuring she was exactly like him in essence, yet distinctly different in design, crafted with unique specifications for unique purposes.
Woman's design reveals her purpose. God created her when he declared, "It is not good for man to be alone." Not insufficient or incomplete, just alone. He determined it wasn't ideal for man to be all in one, so he created woman as another self, someone to share with and include in his vision. This makes woman an enhancer, someone who takes what exists and amplifies it. She's not subordinate, but a co-leader who shares the vision and makes it reality. When God gave man dominion over creation, he immediately created woman to share that responsibility. Here's the crucial part. Woman adapts to the vision she's given. Like a plant absorbing nutrients, she takes in what surrounds her and reflects it back, transformed and amplified. Give her a house, she creates a home. Give her groceries, she creates a meal. This adaptability is both her superpower and her vulnerability. A woman never returns merely what she received. She incubates it, nurtures it, and gives it back fully developed. She possesses not just a physical womb, but emotional, mental, and spiritual ones. Everything she receives, she multiplies. This reflects God's creative nature, calling things that aren't as though they were.
Men and women speak the same words, but hear different languages. A woman's brain has intact neural pathways connecting logic and emotion, allowing her to process facts and feelings simultaneously. Her thinking resembles a web, perceiving details, personalities, and relationships all at once. Men compartmentalize, processing information sequentially and focusing on facts and solutions. When a stressed woman says, "I have so much to do," laundry, dishes, kids' homework, dinner,
She's seeking emotional connection and acknowledgement. But a man hears a problem requiring solutions and offers practical fixes, completely missing what she needs. After a wedding, a woman might discuss every detail for hours, the flowers, the vows, who sat where. A man might summarize it with, "They got married." Neither approach is wrong. They're just fundamentally different. Women need genuine conversation and affection that creates emotional connection. Men need respect that affirms their capability and recreational companionship. When you focus on fulfilling your partner's needs rather than demanding your own be met, both people's needs get satisfied naturally.
God appointed Miriam alongside Moses and Aaron to bring balance. The dominion mandate was given equally to male and female, with no hierarchy in the original design. Leadership takes two forms. Men typically exercise position power, leadership through titles and formal authority. Women exercise influence power, leadership requiring no titles. A woman doesn't need to speak to lead. She just looks and people respond. She runs households, shapes children, transforms environments through influence rather than position. Through Christ, women are restored as partners. Being a helper doesn't mean being inferior. The Holy Spirit is called our helper, yet he's equal to the Father and Son. The male remains the responsible head by design, but he's not the boss or owner. Many capable women sit in churches filled with gifts and calling, yet given no responsible positions. They feel like Harriet Tubman crossing into freedom. "I was free, but there was no one to welcome me." Christ restored partnership, but many women remain strangers in a strange land. If you want something done, give it to a woman. Her influence power is extraordinarily effective, yet we keep this power locked away, unused.
The Proverbs 31 woman isn't a checklist. She's a picture of someone living fully in her design. She multitasks, cares for everyone, transforms what she touches. But notice what comes first. She fears the Lord. Her worth flows from being God's beloved child, not her accomplishments. When she submits to God, Christ works through her by his Spirit, enabling her to fulfill his purposes in his strength. The real power of womanhood isn't found in competing with men or proving independence. It's found in embracing the divine design that makes her uniquely capable of enhancing, reflecting, and giving life. When both women and men honor their complementary purposes, they create relationships reflecting God's original intent. Where dominion is shared, love flows freely, and life flourishes. Women don't need men to grant them equality. God already did that. They don't need permission to lead. They were designed for it. They don't need to become more like men. They need to become more fully themselves. Men don't need to surrender power. They need to recognize that true strength is found in partnership, not domination. The world needs both women and men remembering who they were before the world told them who to be. When we operate according to our design rather than against it, everything changes. Not just relationships or families, but communities, nations, the world itself. This isn't about going back. It's about moving forward into the future we were always meant to inhabit.